Welcome to LSE Limelight from Beaver Sound, where we unfold the best stories from students around LSE, with me, Maisie Adair. Hello, we wanted to chat about creative societies and the impact of COVID-19 on how they are operating. We couldn't think of a better person than Percy Fagent, who is a second year politics and international relations student. Since Percy's arrived at LSE, he has become a keen member of the Drama Society, partaking in four plays ranging from Macbeth to Enron. He has performed with the Afro-Caribbean Society and was one of the first members of Heart Dance Crew. He has also toured the UK with his band, Row and the Rockets. He is newly appointed as the chair of the Creative Network, taking the reins from Zulum, following his LSE equals creative campaign. Percy is a self-proclaimed lover and trier of all things creative, master of absolutely none, according to him, and of course, everybody's number one fan.
So Percy, thank you very much for joining me.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me. I'm very honoured.
Thank you. So I wanted to start firstly by asking you, how are you yourself coping with COVID-19 alongside university pressures at this time?
How am I coping? I'm okay. Yeah, do you know what? I'm in a good place. I'm extremely lucky, and I'm in my little suburban town of Woking. I've got a beautiful family. I've got two cats. I'm using this as a moment to take some perspective and realize that if I can't do my best to be happy and be positive, then like you really can at this moment in time. Just doing little things to try and keep me happy, keep me afloat, keep me in a positive mindset. And so far it's going well. Yeah, I'm in a good place. I'm extremely lucky. How are you? You okay?
I'm well, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, yeah, I'm getting by. Thank you for asking. Okay, so, you know, obviously you've had lots of experiences with creative societies throughout your time at LSE, and I wanted to ask you, what impact has the university closing had on them?
Okay, interesting question. The way I might approach this is by talking about three different types of impact. So the first thing I might approach is that the literal impact that coronavirus has had on the societies in terms of the response they had to do to deal with it. The second thing I'll probably talk about is the emotional impact. And the third thing I want to talk about, which is the bit where I'm going to get very excited and very proud, is the response from these creative societies, because it's honestly been so inspiring. So the first thing and the obvious thing is the literal impact, which is that these societies had to cancel so many events. And the first thing I want to say is that I'm enormously proud of the societies for doing that. So you have someone like Sam Rippon, who had to cancel Sister Act, which is Drama's musical in the year.
Yeah, yeah.
You have Dance Society, who had Insurgents, which is the cumulative performance throughout the entire year's rehearsals, cancelled. You have Music Society, who had Rogue Notes, and the Howtones, who are the two a cappella groups, had to cancel their events. You had Pulse Radio, who had some workshops and some events coming up at the end of the year, also cancelled. And what I'm so proud of is that these decisions to cancel these events weren't forced. But all this was that the leaders of these societies taking the responsible decision on their own behalf to make these decisions. So someone like Sam Rippon, who has to turn around to people who've been rehearsing since November to make Sister Act happen and say, guys, we have to cancel this. You know, my heart goes out to them, but they did an incredible job. The other thing in terms of the impact is that I first thought of when I thought about them having to cancel these events, and this is particularly for drama and dance, was the financial impact. So for anyone who doesn't know, for Dance Society, they hire out the Peacock Theatre, and they do an amazing job, but hiring out the Peacock Theatre is expensive. So yeah. My thought was, okay, they have to refund the tickets, they have to still pay for Peacock Theatre. There's a lot of costumes, there's a lot of marketing costs you might not think about. How are they going to survive? I was talking to Maria, and I think this is testament to how well society is run. They kept it moving. They got a full reimbursement from Peacock Theatre. They also immediately refunded all tickets, but despite that, they've still kept a pretty good balance, which is testament to how well and professionally these things are run. Similarly with Drama Society, to hold a musical, it's not just, you don't just do the musical, right? You have to get licensing rights, which is several thousand pounds. You have to get costumes, which is hundreds, maybe even thousands of pounds as well. So that worried me. Luckily, they got a full reimbursement for the licensing. In terms of costumes, they had to pay for those. The thing that warmed my heart was that people who bought tickets to come and see Sister Act were given the option of whether they wanted to just take the money back as a refund, or they wanted to use that money as a donation to the society. And I think 65% gave it as a donation, which is really heartwarming.
Yeah, so that's lovely.
All the societies financially are going to go into next year, and they've taken a hit. And it's not ideal, but they're going to be okay. And I'm proud of them for being that way. The second thing is that probably the more important thing in the grand scheme of things, which is the emotional factor of all that is going on, which is, you know, I speak from personal experience that, I don't know if you have the same thing, but when I look back on the last 2 years I've had at LSC, it's kind of this big blur of loads of different events and loads of stuff that's happened. But the moments that stick out, you have these little highlights. And for me, that's moments where I feel like I've been at my very peak and doing stuff that makes me happy, whether that's dance performances or drama. And these things are the things that you really treasure going forward. So the fact that so many individuals who are parts of these events have had those moments taken from them in a way that was unexpected and they couldn't account for is absolutely heartbreaking. And my heart really goes out to them. All I can really say for them is that, okay, that one climactic moment you had, you never experienced. But also, you know, the journey you went on, the laughs you had, the mistakes you made, and most importantly, like the friends you made in the process, they will always be there and you can't lose those. So, but you know, that is a small thing to take away from what is inevitably a bad situation. So that's the first two things. The last thing I want to think about is the response that I've seen from so many societies who have taken what is a bad situation and kept it moving and somehow innovated to make it work and stay positive, and societies who actually spun this in a positive sense to continue growing. The perfect example of this is Pulse Radio Station. These guys, oh my, Ella Marshall is a legend. So Pulse said, you know, on paper, Pulse Radio should have stopped. Everything they do is performed at the CDJs in Sourcey. So that is, all the mixes are recorded there. Every show is recorded there. So theoretically, Pulse should have stopped. But somehow they thought, do you know what we're going to do? We're going to make a way that people can do their normal radio sets and perform them live from their homes. So they had to find the technological means by which to do that. They had to organize everyone in different time zones as well. Perfect example of this, you have Jess Graham, the lovely Jess Graham tonight, who is performing at 8 till 9 p.m. UK time. She's performing from Wellington in New Zealand. How crazy is that? So they've somehow taken this crazy idea and made it work. The second thing, which is really testament to how brilliant Pulse Society have become this year, this was not last Friday, but the Friday before. They said, this recording at home thing, we've kind of got that down. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a 24-hour broadcast. So 24 hours, nonstop, different shows. We're going to have comedy shows. We're going to live stream DJ sets on Facebook. We're going to have chat shows. We're going to have music shows. 24 hours, nonstop, from people across the globe. I'm going to do that for charity. They pulled it off. They absolutely smashed it. And I think they raised like over £500 for the Global Food Banking Network, which is just brilliant. And testament to being so many societies that have managed this thing. There's so many people I could also mention. Obviously, Drama Society still managed to do one performance of Sister Act, and it was incredible. You have Dance Society, like Heart. Check out the Instagram for LSE Creative Network. I posted their dance video they managed to create and squeeze out for the end of the year. It's absolutely brilliant as well. You also have, do you know what? I want to give a shout out to The Beaver as well, and yourself for still giving this podcast going. I don't think there's ever been a time in my 2 years at LSE where The Beaver has been more of a voice for the students and more of a centralizing voice of opinion than it has been right now. The piece on the editorial on how LSE needs to implement an engagement policy was brilliant. Colin Vanelli, I don't know this guy, but he is a legend. His piece the other day on the impact of inequality on student performance, incredible. The piece about the impact of individual exam adjustments, brilliant. Clare Market Journal, who are still bringing out their, despite everything that's going on Friday, are still dropping the release of Nostalgia, which everyone should check out, because Clare Market Journal are the most underrated society on campus.
Yeah, I agree.
There's some individuals that I want to mention as well. There's one girl called Amina Hamid. Do you know this girl?
I don't personally.
Well, you should, because Amina Hamid is going to change the world. She is amazing. This girl, she saw that because of coronavirus.
Oh, I do know this. Yeah.
How cool is it, right?
Really
she
cool.
said that because of coronavirus, for anyone who doesn't know, because of coronavirus, all these students at different theatre schools across the UK are not getting their graduation. And graduation at theatre school is not just like graduation for us, because graduation for them is a spotlight moment. So you're before your end of year production, and it's from that that agencies will find you, agencies will sign you, you will network, you will meet people, and that's like the platform for the next step of your career. If you don't have that, you're kind of stuck. So Amina said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to create a platform for all these people who are otherwise lost to make sure that they still have the opportunity. Like a week later, she has something like 80 people sign up to this. She now has a graduate festival at the Actor Center coming up in sometime later on this year. And she's made it happen. And she's given people who otherwise wouldn't have an opportunity. There's so many more people who I could mention. There's someone like Stephen Mullen, who works at the Beaver as well. You might know him, who's created a brilliant photography series. Jack Siggs has created his own website for his media journalism company. Leo Marley, good friend of mine, has dropped 3 brilliant rap songs. There's Mutual Interest, who are a new DJ select, who are brilliant. There's Radio Relay League. All these things are just telling of how both creative societies and creative individuals have used this as a moment to innovate and create and progress. And I, as someone who's just a fly on the wall for all this, could not be more proud.
So. It's so lovely to hear. It's really, the passion's so there and is really useful for everyone, actually. So you've mentioned a little bit about the Creative Network, which obviously you're now chair of. So you've kind of already answered this, but I'm wondering if you have more information on just how people can engage with LSE's creative community right now, you know, from their homes.
I think the first thing everyone should do right now is follow the LSCSU Creative Network Facebook and Instagram page.
Of course.
I say that partly in jest and partly because we're doing a series at the moment where we are promoting talent and people who are doing cool things. And also because, you know, perfect example of this the other day, a girl, I won't say her name, but she does these amazing sketches. I don't know her. I didn't know she did art, but she messaged the Instagram page and just said, hey, you know, I do this art. Is there any way you can help me? And because of that, we can help her and we can put her in touch with people. So if you're sitting there thinking, okay, I either want to do something, you know, whether that's I want to make a film, I want to be in a band, just get in touch with us and we can see who we can put you in touch with and if we can make that happen for you. So yeah, just follow that. And equally, I'd say to anyone who's using this as a moment to look back on last year and realize that they wish they'd had more creativity within their time at LSE, I'd say use this as a moment to look forward and say, okay, how can I approach next year in a way that's going to mean that I get the most out of it if I'm not content with what last year was like, if you know what I mean?
I do. Cool. I do. So because we have seen so many people turn to creativity and the arts right now, you know, not even just at LSE, just in general and social media, you know, it's full of that stuff.
For sure.
Do you think this will lead to creative societies at LSE gaining new members and seeming maybe a lot more approachable than they once did to people in the next academic year?
Interesting. It's kind of linked to what I just said, but I think if there's one thing I hope people get from this time away, and there's so many more important things people should be thinking about, but if there's one thing I think people should get, it's perspective. I think at LSE, there's this kind of mentality that because you're at LSE, which is a very, whatever you want to call it, kind of place, guaranteed to have a crap time. And the creative societies aren't there, and it's not creative, and it's a university full of career-obsessed heathens who don't care about the greater good of humanity. I hope just by me speaking today, you realize that that is fundamentally not true, and just interrogate that slightly, and you realize there is a whole underworld of amazing individuals and amazing ideas happening. So I hope people use this as a moment to think, do you know what, I've only got 3 years, or 2 years, or 1 year, or whatever you may have at LSE. How do I want to approach next year in a way that's going to mean that I make the most of it? But the opportunities that exist at LSE, they don't come around in later life. You know, there is no other moment in your life where you're going to be able to, in the same day, do a radio show for Pulse Radio. And then in the afternoon, let's say it's Wind Down Wednesday, and you can go upstairs to the top of Saucy and do a Bob Ross painting. And then in the afternoon, hey, it's Drama Society, you're doing a play and it's £5 entry. Of course I'm going to go. And then in the afternoon, I don't know, you can go to a Pulse Club event in East London. Do you know what I'm saying? And all these events and all these opportunities are very much there. So I hope people use these to make sure they come back to LSE next year and think, do you know what? That Drama Society event that I wouldn't have gone to last year, I might go because I'm never going to have that opportunity ever again. I now have the perspective to know that this time at LSE or time at university that I have is finite and it will come to an end. And there will be a time when I'm not able to do that, you know, or Pulse. I might do a radio set because I'm never going to be able to do that ever again. So the short answer is I hope so. LSE is not so bad. And there's a lot of good stuff that happens. So fingers crossed, Maisie. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. You know, it is all about perspective. And I think this has given us some time to gain that maybe. Uh-huh. So on a very positive note, I'm hoping, what do we have to look forward to for the Creative Network next year?
It's going to be great. Let me say that. It is going to be great. More is the first thing. Just more of everything. I think the three first of all, I want to say that they did a great job last year because, you know, a year ago, LSE Creator Network just wasn't a thing. It didn't exist. Mm. And within a year, it's on the map and it's now heading into its second year. It's going to be a smooth transition. So we're going into it with momentum. I think the three things that I really want to achieve, and two of them kind of lead into one. The first thing is marketing. Like, there's a problem at LSE that people just don't come to stuff. You know, I mean, I did a play, Private Lives, end of last year, and on the last night there was like 28 people came. And let me tell you, it was a good play, but people don't come. And part of that is because there's like three groups at LSE. There's the group of people who would never come to a play on a Thursday night because that's just not their thing. And just, fair enough, yeah. That's just not their thing. There's a group of LSE who will always come to plays because they know people in there or because they're just completely creative and they love it and brilliant. There's this kind of middle group of people who would probably really enjoy plays and would really enjoy Dance Society, but they don't know they exist or they haven't been told that these plays are good. So the first thing I want to do is make sure the marketing is there. So ensure that if people aren't coming to plays, it's not because they don't know they exist. So that is through centralizing marketing, growing the social media, having just better spaces for people to promote not only events, but also to promote their work, to promote their artwork, to promote their music, to make sure that people cannot avoid the fact that there is creativity at LSE. And that also by doing that, you prove that, I think one thing that has happened so far is that the creative network hasn't really proved its worth to the societies. For the societies, it feels like it's just this kind of ambiguous thing that operates alongside them, but it doesn't really help them. So right. I want to make sure that we're proving societies that, you know, we're helping you out and we are working, we are very much within you. The second thing is recognition. You know, as I was saying, the girl who messaged me on Instagram the other day about her artwork was in her third year and is leaving and has never had a moment where her artwork has been recognized by people at LSE and has never been promoted. So that needs to change because there's no reason that needs to happen. And people would love seeing this artwork because it's amazing. So providing spaces to promote artwork around campus, creating more consumable content. You know, too often, like a cappella society, for example, I went and saw one of their pieces last year. I was there for 2 hours. I cried 5 times. It was so good. But that event lived and died in that moment. And there was nothing to kind of live beyond that of people who didn't attend the event to be able to see it. So more consumable content. And just doing a better job of just giving people shout outs, having posters of people around the school. Because these are people who people should be seeing and like upholding. And I think through doing these two things, through giving recognition and through better marketing, you get into people's hearts and minds. And people who are creatives realize that there is a space for me, there is a space that will recognize me, and there is a space that will help promote what I want to do. And then that is where you get cohesion. Like, you know, I went to the first, I unfortunately missed second, but I went to the first creative network fair last year. And it was the first time where I've been, you know, there was like 80, 90 people there. And I remember being in that room and looking around and being like, this is sick. Because it's the fact that people at LSE are creative, it doesn't really, it's not obvious. But I remember being in that room and looking around and being like, everyone in this room is the same as me. In the sense that they probably don't really feel like they belong at LSE. They have different motives, they have different interests. But now we're all in a room. And you can look around and there's this kind of collective sense of, yeah, I'm not alone in this. So I think I want to make sure that everyone feels together. And we end up, the ultimate thing I want by the end of the year is to make sure that people in Dance Sock go to Drama Sock events and people in Album Sock go to Pulse Sock events because we all know each other and we help each other out. And that's just part of the culture. That's what I want to do. And it's going to be great. And you're going to be there with me, Maisie.
I think, yeah, I definitely will. It sounds like a very good plan. Okay, so finally, I think we're all very interested in what creative endeavors you have pursued at this time.
Oh my gosh. this is in comparison to all the talent I've mentioned so far, this is very embarrassing. Okay. I think one thing I preface this by saying, when we talk about creativity, we can talk about creativity like it's this like big scary thing that is only accessible for creatives. So being creative is like writing some memoirs, or creative is like writing a song, or creativity is like rehearsing and choreographing a dance. Creativity is really small things. So for me, creativity, like the other day I made these lemon polenta biscuits.
Nice.
That was creative. For half an hour, all I was thinking about was just creating these beautiful, fluffy yellow balls of lemon polenta goodness.
Wow.
I mastered curry. I made a great prawn boona the other day. It was unbelievable. Been doing more guitar recently. I've been learning some new songs, which has been really rewarding. I tell you what I've been doing. I've been reading a children's book recently, which sounds ridiculous. But honestly, it's like a new thing I discovered in the last couple of months is like the older we get, the more boring and narrow-minded we become. And there's so many lessons that we can learn from children's books. So, for example, I've got the Winnie the Pooh anthology on my side.
Okay, yeah, that is actually really good. There's so many little quotes from there that are so wise.
Oh my gosh. And there's so many things that we can take from it as adults, just simple things that we forget as we grow old, is about like love, about tolerance, about acceptance, about being kind and treating others well. I've been treasuring those recently, and they're just cute. So embarrassing little in comparison to everyone else, but the main thing that's been inspiring me is just talking to people who do creative mm-hmm. stuff around LSE and seeing all the individuals I mentioned earlier on. There's so many more I should have mentioned, but just doing that has just been so fulfilling in of itself.
Oh, that's really lovely to hear, and good luck with the cooking and the Winnie the Pooh. thank you so much for joining us, Percy.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode. The interviewee was Percy Fagent, and we were discussing creative societies and LSE's virtual campus for our new mini-series. The great music is by Ashley Lyo-Marsing. I've been your host, Maisie Adair. Subscribe to The Beaver Sound on Spotify.